You would open your Bibles to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 1. Amos chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 11 and 12. Amos chapter 1, verse 11. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually. He kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we would ask that you give us understanding of these things. Father, not just the historical context, but for our lives today and what this means for us. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment, and that you would show us Jesus Christ as a Savior, Father, from the hatred and anger that is within our hearts. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes and bring things to light, Father, that we do not see. Father, things that are hidden deep within our hearts. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. May be seated. We turn now to the sin of Edom. And whenever someone is asked to read scripture, many times they'll ask me, what am I going to be preaching on? And so Wayne asked me, and I said, I'll be preaching about the sin of Edom. Remember, we were talking about the Edomites and how the Philistines would go and they'd raid Israel and they'd take away men, women, children, and they'd sell them to the Edomites. And then, you know, so they were part of the slave trade. And then we talked about Tyre and how the people of Tyre would take the runaway slaves and sell them back to the Edomites. So it's all about the Edomites and the slave trade. And then, so something along those lines. And then I started studying, and slave trade's not even mentioned. And I had to send Wayne a text with, we preach about something different. But does this mean that the slave trade is not evil? No. We've already seen that addressed with the Philistines. We've seen that addressed with the people of Tyre. We've seen that addressed in God's law. So why does he not mention the slave trade? Well, because what he mentions is a heart that produced the slave trade. You see, we have a tendency to look at morality in terms of the things we haven't done. So our standing before God is based upon the fact that I have never robbed a bank, and I've never killed somebody, and I have never. That's kind of the way we talk about, I'm a good person because I have never done this, that, or the other. Well, if you were to stretch a map of morality, like a sliding scale, and if murder was at the bottom, like a negative 1,000 on your righteousness scale, just because you never murdered someone doesn't mean that you actually have love in your heart towards them. Doesn't mean that you actually love them. And when Jesus was asked to summarize the Ten Commandments, he said, love God and not kill your neighbor. No, he said, love your neighbor. You see, that's on the positive. That's something you actually have to do, not just avoid doing. And in some respects, it's fairly easy to not kill about 5 billion people on planet Earth. Now, there's a couple people that may be difficult for you not to kill, but for most of people, it's very easy not to kill people. It's loving them that we have a problem with. So we declare ourselves to be right with God because, well, I've never participated in the slave trade. Well, the issue wasn't the slave trade. The issue was the heart of the people of Edom. Now, I'll give you a little bit of an understanding of who Edom is. If you remember, there's Abraham, and Abraham has Isaac, and then Isaac has two kids, Jacob, whom God changes his name to Israel, and he's got Esau. Esau in Hebrew basically means red. Another word for red would be Edom. And so Edom is the descendants of Esau. They literally are the nation of Israel's cousins. Okay, the direct descendants of Isaac. If you were to look at a map, and I'm sorry to turn my back on you, I know that's really bad with public speaking, but I can't do the reverse map thing. If you look at a map, you have like the Mediterranean Sea coming across, then you have the Sinai Peninsula, and you got Egypt down here, and you have the Red Sea. When the children of Israel come up out of Egypt, Okay, they come to the Sinai Peninsula, and here's Israel. Right between the Sinai Peninsula and Israel is a place called Idumea, or Edom. That is where all the descendants of Esau dwelt. It's important to know that for the rest of the context here. So Amos here speaks out against the Edomites, the people who live on the southern border of Israel, the descendants of Esau. And he speaks here, God speaks about their sin. Again, for three transgressions and for four. The idea here is that they have many, 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 many other sins. But this is the most heinous sin that caused the cup to overflow, so to speak, of God's wrath towards them. What is this? Well, because he did pursue his brother here would be Israel, Jacob, that would be the Jewish people, with the sword. What is he referencing here? When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they go into the Sinai Peninsula. Moses gets the Ten Commandments and the Torah and the Law of God on Mount Sinai, and then they come on their way to the Promised Land, the land of Canaan. Well, if you look at a map, the fastest way to the Promised Land is straight through Edom. That's the straightest, most direct course. If you can't go through Edom, you have to go way, 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 way to the east and around and then come across the Jordan River, which forms a whole bunch of other complications, a whole bunch of other people, warring nations, and then you have to figure out how to get a couple million people across a big river with no bridge. So the children of Israel are coming up, and they come to the border of Edom, and they send some people in saying, hey, can we pass through on the highway? There was a highway through there, for it was a major trade route to Egypt. Can we come through? Will you give us passage? We won't take anything. We won't damage anything. We just want a shortcut to go home. And the response of the Edomites is they sent their whole army to the border to block off the highway. That was their response. You can't even walk on our roads. And from there, it all goes downhill. Okay, this pursuing with the sword also would include the slave trade. It would include chasing down runaway slaves. It would include all of that. But that's where it begins. By the way, that is several hundred years before Amos chapter 1. Okay, this is why when he talks about their anger was perpetual, they hated Jews for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. They passed on this hatred. So when it talks about the pursuing of the sword, it begins here with them refusing to allow them even to walk on the trade route that everybody else was allowed to walk on. Everyone else could go through except Jews. We won't let the Jews go on our highway. Keep reading. It says, and did cast off all pity. There's several different translations of this. Some would say cast off all compassion. Some would say that they destroyed all compassion. Some would say corrupted their compassions. In Hebrew, the idea is this. Your emotions of pity and compassion that you would feel towards someone, they absolutely decimated and destroyed, carried off and burned. So let's put it this way. As human beings, we are bearers of the image of God. Yes, that image has been marred through the fall, and yes, we are all sinners, but we all have some part of our humanity that has some level of compassion upon our fellow man. To see a child torn away from its mother causes most human beings some level of angst or grief. We pity the mother. Even if we don't know someone and we see them out in a graveyard crying over a tombstone, there's something within us that is moved. That will be the pity or compassion that's spoken up here. Now imagine being an Edomite and engaging in the type of slave trade that they engaged in. Because remember, it was everyone. This was not like able-bodied males. This was infants, disabled, grandparents, old, young, men, women. Now imagine being there at the slave auction and watching a two-year-old being ripped away from its mother and auctioned off. And seeing that mother scream and cry out as her child is torn away from her and sold, and see that little child scream and cry. Just thinking about that, it's kind of something within you kind of wells up. If you were an Edomite and you began to just have for a moment those feelings of compassion towards a Jew, you would say, no! They deserve it. That child deserves it. I will not have compassion. I will not have pity. I will not feel sorry for what we do to these people. They deserve it. That child deserves to be taken from its mother. That mother deserves to lose her children. That grandma who's disabled deserves to work like a dog because she's a Jew. That's what it means. But it goes beyond within their own heart. You want to know how you hate somebody for literally several hundred years? You refuse to allow pity and compassion in your children for that group of people. So you're there and you got your kids there and you're watching the slave trade. You're watching these people as their families and homes are torn apart. Don't you think at some point in time a little child would say, "Daddy, why are we doing this? Is this right? I mean, look how that child's crying. That could be me, Daddy." And you know what they do? They pull their child aside and say, "We don't talk like that in this home. They're Jews and they deserve it. And you need to understand something right now. There is no pity in this home for Jews. There is no compassion in this home for Jews." That's the way they were. For several hundred years, they would not so much as entertain one ounce of compassion on anyone who was a Jew. It did not matter if they were a child. It did not matter who they were. Now, that is the very definition of hatred. That is the very definition of hatred. You wonder how people could enslave infants. Well, if you hated these people for hundreds of years, that's how it happens. You see, when Jesus, or when God addresses the sin of the Edomites, he doesn't address the fruit, he addresses the root. Slavery is the fruit of hatred. And even if the Edomites didn't have slavery, which for several hundred years they didn't have slavery, they still hated the Jews. And just because you got rid of slavery does not mean you got rid of the hatred within your heart. This is what Jesus spoke about there in Matthew 5 that Wayne read. Just because you didn't kill somebody doesn't mean you don't hate them. Just because you were able to control yourself enough where you didn't run them over with your car does not mean you actually loved them. Just because you didn't murder them does not mean you actually have the positive righteousness of love towards them. In fact, it is that hatred that within a generation or two will lead to murder. It is that hatred that will lead to the Holocaust. It is that hatred that will lead to slavery. It is that hatred that will lead to every form of atrocity we've ever seen in our world. It is hatred. And it is this refusal to allow compassion or pity to dwell within you. Keep reading. Not only did they destroy all compassion, but his anger did tear perpetually. The picture there is, have you ever been so angry you just wanted to break something? You just wanted to grab something and just rip it in half? You wanted to just throw something through a window? You wanted to smash something? Okay, that anger, okay, that rage was constant within the heart of every Edomite towards the Jews. You mentioned so much one thing about an Israelite, and it's almost as if the Incredible Hulk would come out, they'd rip their shirt off and start smashing things. And it never subsided. For several hundred years, generation to generation to generation, little kids would learn that the mention of the idea of a Jew to go into a berserker rage. They hated and despised and held anger towards every Jew. Is it any wonder that they would turn around and sell children on the slave market? No, if you've hated people and had that much anger towards them for several hundred years, selling them in many respects is an act of compassion because you didn't kill them. That's the anger and hatred that was in their hearts. And he kept his wrath forever. The idea here is the idea of cherishing his wrath. I was reading one commentary and he said it's kind of the idea of somebody, you know, eating some food and keeping it in his mouth a little bit longer so they keep the taste and kind of rolling it around on their tongue. Okay, you know the little kid, they get the lollipop and they stick it in their mouth and they chew it as fast as possible. When you get older, you know, you just lick it and the flavor lasts forever, you know. That's the way they did with their hatred and their anger. They loved it. It brought them joy to hate Jews. Okay? And that's the atrocity. Is they got along with the Philistines. They got along with the people of Tyre. Of all the people in that area that they should get along with, don't you think it should be their cousins? And who did they hate the most? Their cousins. So God's response: I will send a fire upon Teman, which was one of the principal cities of Edom, which shall devour the palaces of Bozra. True to what Amos has said elsewhere, essentially what he says is, my wrath will come like a fire that will burn your nation to the ground. I will wipe you off the face of this earth the way a fire burns a forest down. Why? Because of their hatred. Yes, was there slavery? Yes. But that slavery was the fruit of a heart filled with hatred. Just as we read in Matthew 5, murder is the fruit of a heart filled with hatred. Now, the application of this passage of Scripture is pretty obvious for today. And that is, we need to be very careful to not declare ourselves to be right with God because of what we haven't done. Well, I haven't killed anybody. I haven't robbed a bank. I never raped anyone. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. Yes. But do you love them? You see, it's very easy to take what is written here, I mean, quite literally for today, and ask a simple question. Because if you look in our country, there is a ton of anti-Semitism. There are a ton of people who hate Jews in our country. And we can sit there and say, well, you know what? I have never participated in the Holocaust. Do you hate Jews? You'll face God's wrath. You see, that's what is taught there in Matthew 5. Jesus teaches that. You see, it's one thing to say, I've never killed one. Okay, so you've never killed a Jewish person. Good for you. Okay, you're slightly better than Hitler. But do you actually love them? Do you have mercy and compassion towards them? Okay, do you show the love of God towards them? You see, you can have hatred towards Jewish people within you and never once commit a crime against them. Yet your heart be filled with hatred towards them. Let's move a step even closer to home. I've never owned a slave. Good for you. Do you hate black people? I've never lynched anybody. But do you love black people? You see, what has happened within our country is exactly what happened to the Edomites. We have passed on from generation to generation. We won't allow any amount of pity or compassion, even within our children, towards an African American. They deserve it. That's what they get. That's just the culture they're from. Oh, I would never, ever own a slave, and I would never, ever kill anyone, and I would never... Yes, but do you love them? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you have mercy and compassion towards them? Okay? Let me give you a real quick test of whether you have mercy and compassion towards someone. Can you say something positive about them? Can you think of something positive and a character trait that you would look at your children and say, you know what? This individual, I admire this about them. That's pity, compassion. And when something bad happens to them, I go, you know what? I feel for them. To see them hurting and struggling and such. So I would ask you, okay, who cares that you didn't own a slave? Most of you didn't own slaves because we were never given the opportunity to. So, wow, super righteous there, okay? Do you love them? That's the question. Let's go even a step closer to home. Republicans and Democrats. Okay? In our country, there is a hatred between Republicans and Democrats. And let me show you a real life illustration of how the people in our country are like Edomites. I once asked some Christian people, who were Democrats, to say one thing positive about George Bush. That's it. That's all I asked them to do, is say one thing positive about George Bush. And they refused. Just a couple weeks ago, I asked some Republicans who are Christians to say one thing positive about Barack Obama, and they refused. Say something positive about Hillary Clinton. You're not much different than the Edomites, are you? No compassion? No pity? No love? No grace? You see, the truth be told, we have some of that same hatred within our own heart. To where we cannot even have compassion upon our fellow American simply because they're a Democrat or a Republican. I didn't ask you to agree with their policies, but I was asking you, do you hate them? Or do you have the love of God towards them? Do you have the attitude towards them that Jesus Christ has towards them? Do you have mercy and compassion towards your fellow man? You see, the truth be told, we're really no different. We look down on them for their slavery. Now, the slavery was just the fruit of hatred. The animosity that we have within our own country towards Republicans, Democrats, Trump, Obama, Bush, Nancy Pelosi, black people, Jews, white people, Mexicans, you name it. There is hatred within our hearts. And I would just ask you a simple question. If God was going to do this to the Edomites, what is he going to do to you and me? Don't you think the Edomites deserve that for their hatred of the Jewish people? But you don't deserve it for your hatred of Democrats? Your hatred of Mexicans? Blacks? Whites? Homeless people? You see, that's the whole point of what Wayne read this morning. If you do not repent of your hatred, you will face the wrath of God. But let me go just a step further. There is within us, and I've tried all week to think of how to put it into words, but it is one of the greatest blindnesses I have ever seen in my entire life. It's a distortion of reality that we live in. And it relates to family. And if you've ever done any level of counseling with any two people who are at odds, you will see this distortion of reality. And it's like this. Most of the time, when people come to me because they're at odds, they're family members, you know, brother, sister, husband, wife, that type of stuff. And they do something like this. I really am a loving, gracious, wonderful, kind person. But you treat your spouse like garbage. You treat your mother like garbage. You treat your child like garbage. You treat your brother, your sister like garbage. Oh, but I'm really a really loving, kind person. Well, how come of all the people on planet Earth, the people that the one person that should receive the most love from you is the one who receives the most hatred? And it's a complete and total distortion of reality. Let me give you an extreme example. Okay, I know a guy who was in the ministry, and he wanted to help people know about God's love and love each other, and beat the daylights out of his wife. I mean, beat the daylights out of him. I mean, like, he would strangle her and smash her head against the ground while cussing her out. And he looked me square in the eye and told me he was a loving person. Why don't you go home and tell your wife that? No, that's right, you don't have her because she left you for her physical safety. But here's the distortion. We live where the people we mistreat the most are the people we should show the most grace to. And yet, have the audacity to present to the world that we're really loving, gracious people. Why do you think when it looks at the qualifications of an elder, it says, go look at his wife, go look at his kids. You know why it says that? Because I've seen churches where a pastor's wife will leave him and tell the people of the church how horrible he is, how abusive he is, and how mean he is. And this is what they'll say, she's crazy. He's really a loving person. Don't you think the person who sleeps in his bed should know what type of character he has? But here's the thing. We deceive ourselves to think that we can treat our spouse in a hateful manner, yet declare ourselves to be a loving person. That we can treat our children with contempt and neglect, yet declare ourselves to be loving people. That we can treat our parents with contempt and neglect, yet declare ourselves to be loving people. You're loving to everyone except the people you should be loving the most. That's just reality. And I would submit to you that the person you love the least is in reality how much you love God. Go study 1 John. That's what it teaches. And we live in this distortion of reality. Well, because I haven't killed anybody, and I haven't owned any slaves, and I didn't assassinate a president, I'm really a loving person. Are you really? You know, I've seen people who've had more compassion on their dog than their child, who care more about their horse than their spouse. And we can find that horrific. But look within your own heart. You see, in our culture, to go even a step further, abortion's not the problem. We just hate babies. That's the problem. Oh, no, we don't hate babies. Okay. Germany killed 12 million Jews. Don't you think that's safe to say that the Germans hated Jewish people? America has killed over 55 million babies. Don't you think it's safe to say that Americans hate babies? Don't believe me. Well, then, how come we don't celebrate the birth of every child? How come we have unkind things to say to people when they have their third or their fourth or their fifth? It's because we hate babies. It's just the truth. And we can try to word it however we want to and distort reality however we want to. But the truth be told, as it relates to children, we're a lot like the Edomites. We don't have a kind word to say for somebody once they pass whatever number we think is realistic. The point of this passage is that you and I will face God's judgment if we do not repent of our hatred. But therein is the problem. Our hatred and anger burns within us so much that we find no way to get rid of it. Have you ever tried to stop hating someone? Have you ever tried to stop being bitter and angry and nasty towards someone? It's kind of impossible, isn't it? Have you ever tried to love someone that you really, really have hated your whole life? It's hard. That's why all the stuff that's taking place in our country to try to get rid of racism will never work. Because what literally needs to happen is the person you are and the heart you have needs to die. It needs to be taken away and a new person rise again in your place. And that's the gospel. If you were capable of loving people, then God would not have sent his son. But that's the whole point of the law of God. The whole point of Amos. The whole point of the Old Testament. The whole point of the Ten Commandments. The whole point of the Torah. The whole point of all of it is that you are unable to do what God requires of you. And when you were unable, God did it all in the person of his son, Jesus the Messiah. And you should not look within you for hope. You must look outside of yourself to Jesus. And that just as Jesus died on the cross to bear the wrath of God that we deserve for our hatred of other people, for the way we have mistreated family members, for our hatred of different groups of people. So Jesus bore the wrath of God that his people deserved. And he rose again from the dead so that they might have a new life. And if you look at Jesus and you look at his life, there's only one way to describe it, and that is love. He loved people. He loved the poor. He loved the Samaritan. He loved men. He loved women. He loved everyone. He treated them all with love. He had compassion and mercy upon all people he interacted with. And if I am to have that, I must have the life of Christ within me. And that is why Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, to give me a new heart, to give me a new life. So if you're here and you see that hatred, that anger within you, you need to repent and come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. You need to come and acknowledge that hatred within your heart. You need to acknowledge the way you have mistreated people. Maybe not even in person, but maybe the way you've mistreated them within your own mind and heart. You need to confess to the Lord that you have had no pity or compassion on people. You need to confess that hatred and seek his forgiveness. And ask that he would shed abroad his love within your heart. Okay? That you would turn and trust in Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. Say, oh, I'm already a Christian. Yes, but did not the Holy Spirit today show you some levels of hatred within your own heart? Isn't that why it says in 1 John 1:9, the believers, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. I'll be honest with you, studying this past week, I had to do a lot of, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because I saw so much of the hatred within my own heart. That I am not what I need to be. Sure, I haven't killed anybody, and I have never owned a slave, and I didn't participate in the Holocaust and all of those things. But if I really had the love and compassion and mercy and pity and grace towards everyone that Jesus Christ has extended to me. And so I need forgiveness. And that is what Jesus Christ offers you. If you're a Christian, go to him and confess that. Confess it. And he promises to forgive you and to cleanse you. Ask and pray that he would teach you to love that person that you hate. Ask and pray that he would teach you to love them and have pity and mercy and compassion and grace towards them. And he will. I have seen some of the most hate-filled people become some of the most loving people you've ever met. Because of Jesus. I've seen racists who are no longer racist because of Jesus. People who've hated Jews who now love them because of Jesus. People who hated babies who now love them because of Jesus. People who hated their own spouse who now love them because of Jesus. We need Jesus Christ. But as in all things, to take the cure, you need to know that there's a problem. And the problem is that you and I have hearts like Edomites that are filled with hatred and anger towards other people. Would you come to Jesus Christ today to be forgiven and cleansed from that hatred and anger?